We open in prayer. Father, help us now as we meditate on your word. Speak to each of us through your Holy Spirit that we might understand, believe, and live in the light of your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Back in the 13th century, the German king Frederick II conducted a diabolical experiment intended to discover what language children would naturally grow up to speak if never spoken to. He thought it would be German. So King Frederick took babies from their mothers at birth and placed them in the care of nurses who were forbidden to speak in their hearing. But a second rule was imposed as well. The nurses were not allowed to touch the infants. To his great dismay, Frederick's experiment was cut short, but not before something tragically significant regarding human nature was revealed. As you may have guessed, the babies grew up to speak no language. No language at all. They had all died. In the year 1248, an Italian historian named Salvabene di Adam recorded with an air of scientific observation, they could not live without petting. The babies died for want of touch. Astounding. Modern medicine calls this phenomenon failure to thrive. What you and I know is that the first language of our humanity is not a language. It's not even touch. Our first language is love. We humans flourish under the influence of love, and we gradually die without it. We could consider the research of Dr. Ornish, the founder of the Preventive Medicine Research Institute in California. In his national bestseller, Love and Survival, Ornish presents study after study demonstrating that love is a chief influence for mental, emotional, and even physical health. He summarizes the unexpected message of the rapidly accumulating body of data, quote, anything that promotes feelings of love and intimacy is healing. Anything that promotes isolation, separation, loneliness, loss, hostility, anger, cynicism, depression, alienation, and related feelings often leads to suffering, disease, and premature death from all causes. We are made for love, as if our DNA contains the message, you must love and be loved in order to survive. But why? Why love? Science says that is a mystery. And for them, the mystery remains. No one can fully explain why love and intimacy matter so much. Do you want to know a secret? We know why. We know that we are made in the image of God. And if God is love, so are we. Last week, we looked at the physical element or metaphor of ashes. This week, the first midweek of Lent, we look at the physical element of salt. The metaphor of salt is used different ways in the Bible. We heard it in our readings earlier. The prophet Elisha used salt to sweeten bad, undrinkable water for the people of Israel. Later in the Bible, Jesus calls you the salt of the earth, meaning that your life tastes different from others. That means there is something unique, joyful, and wholesome in the way you speak, live, and act. St. Paul says in his epistle, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Many of the baptismal rites of the early church included tasting a tiny bit of salt. One suggestion was, I ought to have salt in the narthex, so when you came in, you could taste salt. There isn't anybody here who would want to taste salt, is there? I didn't think so. adults baptized as converts after they had renounced the devil and his works and confessed the Apostles' Creed were given salt before being baptized. This is one of the reasons why Dr. Martin Luther included the use of salt in his earliest writing on baptismal rites. Salt was a visible way of communicating and reminding people that their baptized lives are now different and distinct from the world. Salt, according to Scripture, seasons and sweetens, yet it also preserves and keeps. Salt was such a precious commodity in the lives of ancient people that they kept it everywhere in their homes. In fact, the root of the word salary comes from the Latin word salarium. Soldiers paid with salt to preserve meat and food to help their families before modern refrigeration was invented. After the prophet Elisha succeeded Elijah, he was told that the water in Jericho was so bad and undrinkable that something had to be done. It may have tasted something like well water, which contains lots of irons and minerals. So Elijah asked for water in a bowl and placed salt in it. Then he threw salt into the spring, sweetening and refreshing all the water for the people to continue to use and drink. God healed the dreadful water with salt. Perhaps that enhances what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" We all go through seasons of pain and suffering. Is there anything sour, troubling, or unfruitful in your life? Is your personal health compromised? Are there bitter or strained relationships with people? Is your employment situation stressful? Amid life's sour and bitter experience, Jesus comes to sweeten, enliven, and refresh you through his healing word. You are a child of God, baptized, washed, and salted in Christ. Our Lenten journey reminds us that Jesus died on Calvary's cross to save us from sin and eternal death. Psalm 34 tells us God is not distant, but promises to deliver you from all your troubles and to heal those things most broken in your life. Jesus comes to preserve you and keep you. The ancient people of God often used salt to preserve meat and other foods so that it would last much longer. Even when the priest offered grain offerings and burnt offerings, they salted these. This preservation and keeping also took place when God saved you. Jesus died as the sacrifice on the cross to save you from your diseased life of sin. As your great high priest, he was salted and offered up for you. And now, baptized into him, death holds no power over you. Your life preserved under the shelter of his wings. Even through this temporal life will end because we get sick and die. Your hope is not in this life. Jesus rose from the dead that Easter morning. Your weak mortal body is promised to be raised as a pure, eternal, spiritual body. That means you are living a life preserved for all eternity. This present or temporal death is not eternal death. And that news sweetens life now with renewed joy and purpose. Those who do not trust in Jesus live hopelessly, with zero comfort when someone they love dies. Therefore, Jesus warns each of us about losing saltiness. Salt is not within us, but God gives salt to us, just as Elisha placed the salt in the water to sweeten the spring for drinking. When a Christian dies, Jesus promises he or she is with the Lord forever. Because of that, we read words of comfort, dwell on God's promise of life in Christ, and sing hymns of joy. That is why St. Paul tells us in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Your saltiness makes you hopeful, joyful, appealing to anyone who sees or knows you. Christ's words and sacraments is a source, the source for sweetening and seasoning your life. The only way salt is depleted or lost is when we fail to hear God's word or receive his sacraments. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is with you now, this very moment, sweetening and preserving your life and the life of those around you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he promises you forgiveness of your sins and life eternal with him and all the saints in heaven. Even though life is daily torn by sin, broken relationship, faltering health, Jesus promises to preserve and keep you and to work all things for your good. He will sweeten all things with renewed hope and purpose. By his resurrection from the dead, which we will celebrate on Easter, you are now sweetening salt, wholesome salt, preserving salt to all who come in contact with you. Amen.